Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Thursday, March 14th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
I'm glad to have you with me today. We've got a lot to talk about. Also with me to talk about all of it, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Faux shizzle.
All right.
That's what the kids are saying.
That's what I hear.
I'm high confidence that that's what the kids are saying.
The young people talk that way now. Yeah. So Snoop Doggy Brian, we're going to have to wait just a minute because I'm going to talk to John first about his Blu-ray article from yesterday. And this sort of accidentally came out of a conversation we ended up having yesterday, right, John?
Yeah, I discovered that quite by accident that Samsung had elected back in February to stop selling its Blu-ray players, both 4K and the 1080p's in the United States. And that got everybody into a tizzy and people started talking about the end of Blu-ray. But we have to remember that Samsung never supported Dolby Vision. They were supporting HDR10+. So it wasn't as big a deal as people thought, because Panasonic and Sony are still in the game.
Okay.
And so that article started me on a research crusade, digging into what's happening with Blu-ray, some of the factors that have led to the concern, to the factors that have led to people not embracing 4K Blu-ray players. It turns out that studios are still releasing streaming videos with 4K and Dolby Vision, but not on the same disc, not the same content on discs. So they're omitting Dolby Vision on the disc for reasons that still mystify me, because I think the Dolby Vision profile is available.
Okay.
So the combination of the fact that Blu-ray players in 2017 and 18 were quote Dolby ready, unquote. You had to upgrade them if you could, some you couldn't. Mm-hmm. And the fact that studios have been vastly inconsistent in supporting Dolby Vision versions of their 4K videos on disc has led to a lot of consumer confusion. And when people get confused, they don't act. Mm-hmm. And things don't happen. So,
well, and especially when you get to something like, you know, everybody had to buy a flat screen, and then everybody had to buy new players, and, you know, like, it seems like on the television side anyway, you know, like, computers and phones have evolved pretty quickly, and that wasn't as big a deal, but a television, a much larger purchase with a much larger lifespan. So it seems like, you know, there was HD TV, and so everybody had to get a flat screen in some fashion for that. And then everything went 1080p, and then there was 4K, and now we're hearing about 8K. And you can get a TV that was probably larger than your first apartment, and on and on and on. And it just sort of ends up being upgrade fatigue. And so I can totally see why people would be holding off. And no, I'm not doing anything, because I can't figure out where this is going to end up. And I don't want to be that guy that came home with an HD DVD player, you know, which was the digital version of Betamax, you know, to make an even more dated reference. So you don't want to end up on the wrong end of something like that, because if you bought hardware in order to consume physical media, you need to make sure there's going to be physical media for it. And, you know, you don't
Here's another factor. It turns out that if you did upgrade to 4K TV, your standard Blu-ray player at 1080p gets upscaled, mm-hmm. basically from 2K, quote, 2K to, quote, 4K, which is really HD to UHD. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to tell the difference. I have to look really carefully. I've watched a lot of 4K content, but then I sometimes go back to high definition, and I say, you know, high definition at my viewing distance is really good. I'm close to the TV where 4K should pay off. Mm-hmm. But a really well-crafted high definition signal is awfully good and looks pretty good on a 4K screen when it's upscaled. You have to have a fine eye to tell the difference. And I have not yet bought a 4K Blu-ray player. because of the market inconsistency, because of the uncertainty about up titles available in Dolby mm-hmm. Vision, and because the players weren't out of the box Dolby ready. Now, Sony announced a new one at CES in January. Mm-hmm. It's called the X800 M2. Sony kind of screwed up, if I may say so, but they had an X700 that supported Blu-ray, and then they came out with an X800, which is a later model that couldn't be upgraded. And that kind of annoyed everybody. And then they came out with the second version of the X800, which does. So that combined with the studio inconsistency, the whole Blu-ray industry kind of shot itself in the foot. Meanwhile, the Dolby Vision profile for streaming was good from the get-go. And Netflix and Amazon, mostly Netflix, spent all of 2018 streaming a lot of 4K content with Dolby Vision. Mm-hmm. Things like Jessica Jones, I mentioned in the article, and others. So that really made it kind of painless and friction-free for people to do 4K Dolby Vision on Apple TV or another device.
So let me point out some reality. In the U.S., at the very least, there is a divide. There are those who stream, and there are those who don't. There's a significant number of people who don't. Mm-hmm. Now, in our world, probably a good portion of the people that we know stream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But part of the U.S. population that is not streaming. And for those folks, they never went to Blu-ray.
Yeah.
They weren't interested in Blu-ray. They weren't interested in the competing HD one that was around for a while. And so
DVD, which failed.
LOL. And the reality is that we're going to continue marching forward with one foot in the past, which is DVD mm-hmm. going strong.
I mentioned that in the article.
And one foot and the other foot in the streaming world.
Right.
Well, DVDs are fine on a high definition television. You can scale up decently from 480i to 1080p, and it looks pretty decent. But I'll tell you, I've tried to watch DVDs on my 4K display, and it's got an excellent scaler, and it strains mightily. I see artifacts. I see problems. Going from 2160p is beyond reason. Heroic as the Sony scaler is on my TV, it still creates visible artifacts. So I just wish DVDs would go away, but the industry, as Brian said, doesn't want them to go away because of this installed base. No,
the user base is huge. The user base doesn't want them to go away.
Right.
The industry couldn't care less.
They'll just go where the money is. I mean, we've seen that before.
Admittedly, the industry wanted to be able to charge more for Blu-ray. Right. They wanted to be able to get more revenue for the same movies. But if people are going to continue to buy DVD, the industry will happily feed them.
Yes. Yeah.
So saying, John, that you want DVD to go away is probably the most elitist thing that I've ever heard you say. There are a lot of people who do not have the ability to stream. And that's what I meant by that. And I know that's not what you meant. But, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people who can't stream.
It's in the context of the fact that about 5 years ago, Blu-ray players were on sale at Walmart for $89. And it was probably technically smart and economically feasible for people to go to Blu-ray mm-hmm. with their high-definition TV instead of feeding their HDTV with DVDs. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain amount of emotional and technical inertia where people say, DVD is good enough, and they don't realize it's not good enough, but it is. They think it is. So there's another elitist comment.
All those people watching Mere Mortal DVDs, John feels sorry for them. Look forward to his telethon later this year. To help people get Blu-ray players now that we know that they're not going away, because that was one of the things that I thought about. I have
Kelly, folks.
I look forward to your letters. That was one thing that I, when we talked about this, John had mentioned that Samsung wasn't making players anymore, and I was worried about anybody making players anymore, which was sort of what started this, because I also found out that the company that makes the Blu-ray players that I have is no longer in the business making Blu-ray players. So of any sort of disc player for that matter. And so that was kind of what kicked off the conversation, was like, what's happening? Because I have all these discs that I still want to play, and I need to figure out how to do that. So that was part
despite the fact that Sony and Panasonic are still in the game.
Right.
Plastic is doomed eventually. I mean, eventually. Articles I've read suggest that there'll never be an 8K format on plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually the infrastructure for streaming will be so good and it'll be so easy to do that there just won't be any point in buying plastic anymore.
Well, remember, vinyl was supposed to be dead too. And here we are. So that's not necessarily a thing that happens. I'm curious to see where it goes and when there is more interesting news on the DVD, Blu-ray, Dolby Vision 4K front. I assure you, we will have John on the show to explain it, because it doesn't make much sense to me either.
One last thing. There are also a bunch of people who don't even have 4K TVs and who cannot afford a 4K TV.
Right.
Just FYI. I know they're getting cheaper all the time and everything. So
I saw one the other day for $569.
Yeah, $569 is out of the range of a lot of
people.
That's
a lot of money. And I still think that's a lot of money for a TV. I know what we paid for the TVs at my house. And yes, we have more than one. And even to me, I'm like, wow, that... Just because to me, $569 is a non-zero amount of money. Like, I'm not going to spend that without flinching. So that seems like, so that's, you know, that's probably another thing. I mean, there's probably, you know, just to keep John up tonight, I'm going to point out that there are probably people with DVD players and even Blu-ray players that are hooked up to tube televisions.
There are people, people with VHS still.
Tell me it isn't true.
Oh, I have a VCR.
Yeah, but there are people who rely on that.
Yes, still. I do not. Well, I only sort of rely on mine because I need it to watch actual Star Wars movies and not that nonsense that's on plastic now. So,
how do you feel about the how do you feel about the accumulation on the Funna in front of your house?
I was going to say that's a whole my stance on Star Wars is a whole other podcast.
Actually with you.
And I look forward to your letters. I want to go ahead and talk about our sponsors today. Our first sponsor is Capterra. And Capterra is the free leading online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. The way that they do that is with over 750,000 reviews of software from the actual users of that software. So you can find everything you're looking for because there are more than 700 categories to choose from, so you can make an informed decision. Everything from project management to something very specific like yoga studio software. And no matter what kind of software you need, Capterra makes it very easy to discover the right solution fast. So here's what you do. Go to capterra.com/TDO for free today, and you can find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. That's capterra.com/TDO, capterra.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Capterra for sponsoring the show today. Our second sponsor is ExpressVPN. And as you know, because we tend to talk about a lot of it on the show, there are places that have your data and shouldn't. There are people who are trying to get it. There are companies that are trying to take it and monetize it into something else. And you can start the process of taking back that data by using a VPN. And ExpressVPN can help you do all of this with easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background on your computer, on your phone, on your iPad. It just takes one click to save your data, to protect your data. And the way it ends up protected is because all of your information is anonymized through ExpressVPN's encryption of your data. Your public IP address is even hidden, so anybody with less than savory intentions trying to get at your stuff is going to have a very, very hard time doing so. You can protect yourself for less than $7 a month with ExpressVPN, the number one rated VPN service by TechRadar. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get 3 months free with a one-year package if you go to expressvpn.com/TDO. expressvpn.com/TDO. And that was 3 months free with a 1 year package. And we would like to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring the show today. Our second topic is WWDC, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, is official for reals. There are dates and everything. Now,
just announced today.
Yeah. Right before we started recording, as a matter of fact, we found this out so that we could talk about it a little bit. And two things that strike me about that is, first of all, I'm glad to know that the rumors were true, because I was trying to book some travel during that time. And so I'm glad that we ended up getting transportation that we needed and all of that on the right days. And also, the other piece of that is that I remember in the olden times, it used to be that we would get software. Apple would have two events a year because there would be Macworld and there would be WWDC, and we would get software at one and hardware at the other.
No, we got some hardware throughout the year. What are you talking about?
Well, generally,
because back then Apple used to update its Macs all the time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, generally, you know, we would get one or the other.
Those are the days.
Anymore.
I said it was the olden times. it was the old days, Brian. You know, when operating systems were a single digit number. That's what I'm talking about. So
when they were the cat's meow.
So, but we used to basically get a new something that was updated each year, and we would get one at the public event, and we would get one at the less public event, which is WWDC. Anyone that wanted to could come to Macworld if they could just get there, and you could at least, if nothing else, get a show floor pass for free. WWDC doesn't work that way. You have to have a ticket in order to get into all of those things. And so one of the things that I was interested in is, especially since we have an event coming in March, and then we have, obviously, the WWDC keynote in June, probably on June 3rd, then what do you guys want to see? Brian, I want to start with you. Besides the stuff we know, because we know we're getting the new version of iOS, the new version of Mac OS, an update on Marzipan, which they showed us last year. Those are the three big things I know are coming.
And a new Watch OS and a new AR kit.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, and TV OS.
Yeah. Right.
Those LOL TV OS. But yes,
will all be happening. I hope that we get some hardware announcements, mainly because Apple's hardware announcements have been far too few and far between. I certainly hope that the long overdue iMac and iMac Pro get updated, and it would be super fun if we got some kind of look at the next Mac Pro, but mm-hmm. I am not in any way whatsoever holding my breath on that.
Probably a smart decision. Now, John, I think you have a wish list, if I'm not mistaken, of what you want to see happen in June, right?
Yeah. Yeah, new 10-inch iPads, iPad Mini, Mac Pro Preview, AirPods 2.
Wait, how they just updated iPads? Why would they update iPads at WWDC? That's not happening.
Do you mean not Pro? Like
persistent rumors of standard 10-inch iPads and an iPad Mini, not Pro.
Oh, the non-Pro version.
Not Pro, right.
Yeah. An iMac. Now, last summer, Apple shipped MacBook Pros with the Coffee Lake, and we expected last summer to Apple also ship iMacs with Coffee Lake. But now we're into March and that hasn't happened. And so now all of a sudden my question is, what processor is the next iMac going to have? And I made a list and there's five possibilities.
Okay.
There's Coffee Lake, which would be already obsolete. There'd be Intel's Coffee Lake Refresh, which is an updated version of Coffee Lake, which is probably a good candidate. Could be Apple's ARM. It could be Cannon Lake, which Intel's had terrible troubles with, but may finally be getting their yields up to the point where they can ship a 10-nanometer process Cannon Lake for Apple's iMac. Or Intel could switch gears and redo the technology under something called Sunny Cove, which is also a 10-nanometer process. And some rumor sites like TechRadar think it's Cannon Lake redesigned to solve problems.
Okay.
So there's five possible.
Wait, did I hear
options?
ARM?
Yeah, yes. I mentioned ARM.
Okay, sorry.
So it could be that if they do a Mac Pro preview and it's ARM based, which Brian and I have talked about a lot, mm-hmm. it could be that there'll be a companion announcement for new iMacs that are also ARM based. So that people who can't afford the Mac Pro can happily go out and buy their new iMacs.
Now you did say that the processor that's kind of over and done with is the Coffee Lake processor, right?
Yeah, it's getting kind of old. There's a Coffee Lake refresh from Intel. It's an updated version of it.
I look forward to seeing the brand new iMac, which includes the original Coffee Lake processor in it. That's what, honestly, like, I'm only sort of joking. I fully expect if that's going to happen, it's going to be something like that.
Apple just so would that take there's some heat for that. Yeah.
Well, they keep taking heat because they keep not updating anything. And then when we get an update, I mean, you know, the mini, like, yeah, we got a mini at least a year later than we should have, and the technology in it was not up to what it could have been when it was released. And so, like, that's why I'm sort of hoping that maybe it's an ARM issue or something, and that's what we're going to get down the line.
Or could be a T2 integration issue. My mm-hmm. current working theory is that Apple decided that the first priority was the Mac Mini with a T2.
Yes.
The second priority was a MacBook Air with a T2. Mm-hmm. And the third priority was an iMac with a T2, and it kind of got to the bottom of the list and lingered. And then Apple had troubles with Cannon Lake, and Apple got upset about which was going to come next. And by the time mm-hmm. Apple had T2 integration done, Coffee Lake was getting obsolete. And so maybe they decided Coffee Lake refresh would be the thing to integrate the T2 with. And time marches on.
Right. Well, one way or another, if WWDC comes along and iMac Pro still hasn't been updated before then,
it will iMac or iMac Pro?
iMac Pro. It will have been if the iMac Pro was introduced.
Sorry, and it'll be how long?
2 years.
2 years, okay.
And the specs did not change between being announced and shipping 6 months later. Mm-hmm. Right? So so what I'm saying is we better get an update to the iMac Pro.
Yes. Dear Apple, please get on the stick. Love, Brian.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with that. I think that's where we are. So As we find out more, as there are other things to discuss, we will definitely do so here. I want to thank both of you for being here today. John, thanks for coming by.
Pleased to be here.
And, you know, I love talking to you about video stuff. And Brian, thanks for coming by to speculate about computers with us that we're going to see in June.
Happy to be here.
I also like that you add a little bit of music every time that you are on, and that makes me happy too. So I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. We'll be right back.